the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Sung by a Norwegian, a song about a Russian dog in space, is going to represent Ireland at the Eurovision. Before we talk to Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea, let's hear a little bit of Like a Party by Emmy. Elaine Burke, you're our Eurovision nut. What do you make of that?
I hate it. So, not my favourite of the six candidates, but here we are. It has gotten stuck in my head, though. I have to give it credit for that. But when I first heard it, it felt like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I like bubblegum pop and I like kitsch things. So, it's not like it's not in my wheelhouse, but it just, yeah, I just find it quite annoying as a song, and first-time listeners might feel the same way, and that could be problems for us when we're competing on the Eurovision stage.
Joe Shea, what do you make of it?
If you ask an AI bot to write a Eurovision entry, this is exactly what they would come up with. And that song could have been in the Eurovision in 2004, 2012, last year. It's absolutely by the numbers Europop Eurovision entry. So it's not bad. I mean, it's got a nice kind of melancholic kind of thing going on in the background as well. And it's an unusual subject. And she's got an interesting voice. But the problem is, it's just going to get lost. It's going to get lost in all the rest of the Europop that's in there. What you need is something that stands out, like we had last year. And we're not going to have that this year.
So how do we get to this, Elaine? I didn't see Friday night's Euro song on the Late Late Show. What was the whole thing like? Because I believe Samantha Mumba, in particular, one of the contestants, has given out about the judges.
Yeah, so she has said that their comments were unnecessarily rude and vile. I watched the whole show. I thought the judging panel were great, to be totally honest. I thought they really showed that they were all Eurovision fans, that they really understood this competition and what it takes.
Who was on the panel?
It was Arthur Guralian, who has actually danced for a Eurovision entry. Donald Skean, who has competed in Eurosong himself many moons ago, now more known as a TV chef. Laura Fox, 2FM radio DJ. And Bambi Thug, our previous contestant from last year. And they were honest, I will say that much. But they were critical. And I think that's good to see from a panel. I've seen panels before where they're afraid to critique the songs and they say everyone's doing a good job, which I understand because those people have put themselves forward. It's a vulnerable position to be in. And five of them were going to go home losers on that night. And that was the guarantee. Only one can be put forward. And you do want to be trying to be sensitive about that. I think Samantha Mumba has particularly taken umbrage with Arthur Grunlian's comments that her song sounded like 10 demos kind of smashed together. And he was saying that to contextualise what he was saying about the song not sounding coherent to him. And maybe that was a bit of a clumsy analogy for it. But like in the context of what he's saying, I don't think it came across as that harsh when it's taken out of context.
Yeah, if you actually go into a contest like the Eurosong to select a song to go to Eurovision, don't you actually have to put up with comments that are made about it? Isn't that just part of the gig?
Yeah, although the comments that were made were absolutely fair. Samantha Mumba's song, it didn't get going until 1 minute and 40 seconds into the song. You know that the traditional Eurovision Big Bang kind of chorus that always happens. It didn't happen for 1 minute and 40 seconds. You're kind of watching it going, where is this going? Why is it taking so long? So the comments were bang on. And the panel actually did a very good job of getting to what it is we need, because you're looking for a very specific thing. This is not like, you know, it doesn't matter if Samantha Mumba looks great, has a fantastic voice, all of that. It's about the song, and that song just didn't cut it.
Was, do you think, Elaine, Donal Skean right to say that this shouldn't be on the Late Late Show at all? This should be a separate programme in its own right. I know there might be additional cost to RT in doing it outside of the Late Late Show, but surely programmes like that are what get the numbers.
Oh, 100%. It could be a cost to stage it like that way, but it could also be a great investment, because there are Eurovision fans who travel around the world to go to various nations selection competitions. That's how replete this fandom is, and willing to travel and spend money they are. It could be a great kind of tourism angle for Ireland. It could be a great showcase for Ireland. When you look at things like Melody Festival, which is in the Nordics, and that's where Emmy has actually competed herself before. Like, she's known in the Eurovision circuit because of these early stage competitions. So, like, it is part of this whole Eurovision community, and it can attract people in. You could sell tickets to it. Like, that is how big these competitions are.
And separately to that, Joe, tell us about the potential revival of the Intervision Song Contest.
Yeah, this is pretty hilarious. Vladimir Putin and the Russians have decided that, seeing as we won't let them play with our Eurovision, they're just going to have their own one. So I didn't realize this, but Leonid Brezhnev, who people might remember as a Soviet leader in the 60s, he came up with an idea, because the Russians were kind of the Soviets at the time were jealous about the Eurovision being such a big thing in Europe, so they wanted their own thing. So they set up this thing called Intervision, which kind of was a Soviet bloc Eurovision, basically, that ran kind of sporadically in Poland and Czechoslovakia down the years. It didn't really do anything. But now Putin's saying that they're going to bring it back, and they'll probably bring it back this year, and he says they've already got 20 countries that have agreed to participate, including Brazil, Cuba, India, China, presumably North Korea will be sending people as well. If you want to find out what North Korean dance music likes, sounds
well,
like this.
Well, I've actually experienced a bit of that, so.
Of course you did, John. And I remember they had a long-running number one in North Korea called "I'm in Love with a Disabled War Veteran." So I'm not so sure that's how, you know, that caliber of song is going to go over very well with the Intervision audience. So it is pretty funny, and it's just, like, I suppose the Russians being jealous and kind of like, well, we'll do our own thing.
Okay, I think we'll probably end up going late to 6 o'clock, because there's a couple of other things I want to ask you about. Elaine, are we getting Love Hate coming back?
TBC. So according to John Connors, yes. According to RTE, no. According to Netflix, no, because they were also tipped by John Connors as potentially picking up this show. And according to writer Stuart Carolyn, he is working on a new crime drama that he's kind of called The Love Child of Love Hate. So maybe that's what we're actually going to be getting in possibly 2026. But it's all very unclear, and it's coming back to comments that John Connors made during an interview on the 6 o'clock show, saying that he was giving them this exclusive, that he was announcing that Love Hate was going to be coming back, that they're going to be filming the end of this year for release in 2026. But RTE has said it wasn't the case, and then John Connors came back and said, oh, it's through Netflix, like Top Boy did, coming back through Netflix. But I don't know if this is the case.
There'd be great love for it, I think, in Ireland, Joe, but do you think would it go down well internationally?
Well, I think they have had sales, haven't they? It's been shown internationally, I believe, but I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of those types of shows around at the moment, and when it came along, it had a huge impact in Ireland, of course, because that was the first time we'd seen anything like that in an Irish crime drama.
It was of its time, perhaps, was it?
Very much of its time. And I think Stuart Carlin's kind of smart enough to know that that was great for then, but he needs to do something different now, and that's what he's talking about. This sounds like John Connors going off on a complete kind of flyer by himself and kind of wishful thinking. He'd love to see it come back, but it doesn't seem like it's a goer at all. And of course, we had Conor McGregor then tweeting that he was going to be part of the new show as it came back as well, which didn't make a lot of sense.
Christ.
No, that would suddenly put you off it. Let's get your picks of the week. Joe, I want to start with yours, because it's somewhat tangentially related, but a real-life documentary on RT tonight and next Monday night, which is exactly the type of thing that RT should be doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now, if you're making a documentary and it's going to take a while, because, you know, it takes a few years to get RT to agree to do it, and then you have to make it, and then you have to... what you need is a bit of luck. And the people who behind Jerry Hutch, a.k.a. The Monk, which is first part of a two-part series starting on RT One tonight at 9:35, they got very, very lucky, because Jerry Hutch, in the middle of them, when they were finishing the documentary, decided he was going to make that run for the Dáil. I got 3,000 first preference votes as well, so did pretty well. So this is a documentary looking at the life of Jerry Hutch, and it's very in-depth, and it sounds like it's really, really going to the heart of who he is, because we all know Jerry Hutch, but do we actually know him? And one of the interesting things is the first part, which is on tonight, is going way back to his teenage years when he kind of ran allegedly, we'll have to say, ran a gang. Yeah, the Bugsies in the North Inner City in Summerhill, and people who know Dublin will know Summerhill. And I think it's going to be a fascinating look at a guy. You know, he's been mythologized, you know, but there is something there, I think. And I think it is going to be a fascinating look at a character that's been around in, you know, for Irish people for decades now, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's Jerry Hutch. Yeah, Jerry Hutch, a.k.a. The Monk, 9:35 on RT1 tonight.
And Elaine, what's your pick, please?
I have been waiting for season 3 of Hacks to be available in Ireland for so long, and it is finally here. So Now TV, or if you have a Sky package, you can get it on Sky Max. They've got all 3 seasons available now to watch. And if you have been sleeping on the show, I guarantee it will give you a laugh if you check in on it. It's got Jean Smart playing like a Joan Rivers type veteran stand-up comedian who's now working with a younger writer to try and attract a younger audience. And it's a great two-hander between Jean Smart and Hannah Einbinder. Great comedy. Breakout star in Megan Stalter, who, if you're very online, you may already be familiar with her work. And it's just smart, great comedy, well worth a watch.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Elaine Burke, Joe Shake.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.